Welcome home, and hopefully you are ready for Thanksgiving. How many of you are planning on staying local this year for Thanksgiving? Local. Okay. How many of you are planning on leaving town for Thanksgiving? How many of you are being forced to leave town for Thanksgiving? How many of you are coming back after you leave town for Thanksgiving? All right. Hopefully you're ready for a good week where you're going to take some time and celebrate and thank God for the good things he does. We're wrapping up today our series entitled Upbeat or Beat Up, where we've asked the question, do you want to live an upbeat life or do you want to live a life that's beat up? And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the answer should be simple. You want to live an upbeat life. And we've been talking each week about the things that need to happen, the way that we carry ourselves through this world and how we look and what we say and how we think and how we process. And so today, being at Thanksgiving week, we're going to wrap the series up by going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And we're going to ask you the question, are you grateful or are you grumbling? Are you grateful or are you grumbling? A Thanksgiving message to be sure. Also, on the way out today, make sure I'll mention it now because I will forget because I did it 9. We've designed a Thanksgiving quiet time guide for you this week. It follows up to this particular sermon, digs into the passage a little bit more than we will have the time to this morning. And so they're available on the table on the way out. So make sure you grab one. All right. The verses say this, familiar verses, no doubt. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is a week where we set aside a day to be thankful. It's one day. It's an important day. It's a day for us to ponder the blessings that you have given to us as individuals, but also the blessings that you have given to us as a nation, and we have many. And so, Lord, please take this week and allow our Thanksgiving celebration to be one that is worthy of you, and one where we really do take the time not to do stuff and to stay busy, but we do spend time saying thank you. But for us, this morning, in this worship time, as followers, we come to a passage of Scripture that we desperately need to come alive in our lives this week. But not just this week, every week. And we need to allow the words to filter across our hearts in such a way that it changes us from the inside out and creates in us a desire to live the upbeat lives that we were created to live. So make us ready. Push aside anything that might distract us from catching a glimpse of you over these next few minutes. Help us to find you in the words that are said and the words on the page. And we would ask that your spirit would move in this place. And above all the sights and sounds that we would hear around us, we also would hear that quiet, shuffling sound of sandaled feet as you weave your way through our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you the Thanksgiving Day forecast. It begins with a thaw that is on the horizon. Turkeys will thaw early in the morning. And then there will be a warming trend as they warm in the oven in the afternoon to a high near 190 degrees. The kitchen, now it's going to turn hot and humid. And if you bother the cook, get ready for a severe squall or a cold shoulder. During the late afternoon evening, there will be a cold front of a knife that will slice through the turkey, causing an accumulation of 1 or 2 inches on your plate. Maybe even 3, depending on who you are. Mashed potatoes are going to drift across one side. Cranberry sauce creates slippery spots on the other. Please be wise with the gravy. There's a weight watch, an indigestion warning that's been issued for the entire area with an increased stiffness around the beltway. During the evening, the turkey will diminish and taper off to leftovers, dropping to a low of 34 degrees in the refrigerator. Looking downrange Friday and Saturday, high pressures to eat sandwiches will be established. Flurries of leftovers can be expected both days with a 50% chance of scattered soup late in one afternoon. Expect a warming trend where the soup emerges. And by early next week, eating pressure will be low as the only wish left will be the bone. That's the forecast. And see, I don't know what your Thanksgiving holds. Some of you are staying, some of you are going. We got a lot of people on the road. But hopefully your Thanksgiving really will be a day where you will take some time to be thankful. Thankful for the many blessings that God gives. Thankful for the stuff that has happened in the course of your life over the past year. And whether or not you're successful in that really does depend upon one of two things. Either you have chosen and made the choice to move through life as a person who is grateful and lives life with gratitude, or you are a person who has chosen to grumble and complain. And that choice of whether or not to be thankful or not is yours. See, grateful people are thankful people. Grumblers have made a choice to be the worst version of themselves. And even more destructively, as they have the ability to ruin and tank the lives of those around them, they get caught in that orbit. Grateful people are upbeat. Grumblers are beat up. What kind of person would you rather hang around? See, there's something about us that likes grateful people. There's something about us that likes upbeat people. There's something about us that tries to give plenty of space and distance to those grumblers. We like to give plenty of space and distance to those who like to complain. They're beat up. And this week, on Thursday, if you are spending time with family and friends or you're gathering with other people, that mix will be in the room somewhere. And for a few hours, you're going to have to navigate both kinds of people. And hopefully you'll navigate them very, very well. Hopefully you'll go through and you'll shine brightly for Jesus. Hopefully you'll navigate them and just come out at the other side so thankful for the time you had to be there. But that's not always going to be easy. But more importantly than that, what kind of person will you be? Will you be that kind of person that is grateful and upbeat to be around? Or will you be that grumbler who's chosen to be beat up? I heard about a woman who had to patch up a friendship with a coworker in her office. Mary was the lady's name. She was planning her Thanksgiving Day meal. Her in-laws were coming into town. She was stressed. She was in a tizzy trying to make sure that everything was just perfect. Everything had to be right. And she had so many things to do. Her mind was so cluttered that she did what some of you do. She started posting reminders to herself with Post-it notes on anything that was a stickable surface. And she began to stick these Post-it notes everywhere so she could remember what she needed to pick up and what she needed to do. Her friend Sharon stopped by her desk at lunchtime on Wednesday before Thanksgiving on Thursday and said to her, "Are you ready to take me to lunch? This is the day you promised to take me to Applebee's for my birthday." Mary had forgotten, but she wanted to cover it. And so she said, "Oh, yes, indeed, Sharon." And she did her best to cover the mistake and acted like she was looking forward to it. Sharon was a sensitive soul. She was the kind of person who would get her nose out of joint if things didn't go her way. She was always willing to say the cutting thing, the painfully obvious kind of thing. And any perceived slight, she was the one that you just didn't want to be around because you knew she was going to react badly. So Mary did her best to cover it and thought she had pulled it off. And lunchtime came, and Mary settled down into the seat of her car. Sharon's in the passenger seat, and as she settled into her seat and shut the door, Sharon says in a sarcastic voice, "Thanks a lot, Mary." And Mary thought she'd made it. She thought she'd hidden it. You know, she thought that she had just kind of slid through, and Sharon didn't know she forgot, and all of a sudden, Mary looks at her and says, "Well, what? What's wrong? What's happened?" And Sharon says, as she pointed to the dashboard, "This. Thanks a lot." And there in front of her, on the passenger side, on a Post-it note with these words, "Take out the turkey." Now, some of you are the turkey that needs to be taken out. Some of you are that kind of person that just no matter what happens, everyone's walking around on eggshells trying to make sure you're happy. And if that's you, cut it out. For the love of Jesus, cut it out. Because that's not what you were created to be. That's not what you're created for. That ought never to be one of the followers of Jesus Christ. The child of the King shouldn't be that way. And yet, sometimes we are. Because, you know, we know all those hard. It's hard sometimes to be consistently thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be upbeat. But we've talked about that already. But see, even in our culture, we struggle with this. Because isn't it interesting that in a culture, in a nation, we set aside one day, one 24-hour period to be thankful. And for that 24 hours, the emphasis is on Thanksgiving. This is a Thanksgiving day. But see, we've got that backwards, don't we? Because see, if you're a follower and God put me in charge for the day, what I would do for you is this. I would say you get one day a year that you can sit aside and just complain till your lungs fall out. You can gripe and moan about everything. You can spew about everything that's wrong. You get 24 hours. We'll call it Grumbler Day. But then if you're a follower, the other 364 need to be Thanksgiving days. But as our culture, we get it backwards. Because we think if we spend one day being thankful, we're doing somebody a gift, giving somebody a gift. We're doing doing solid for somebody. And for us, that should be the normal. Every day, if you're a follower, should be a Thanksgiving day for you. Every day that you get another day to go around this planet should be a win. And so we are called to be people that have to learn to get this right. Because Thanksgiving can't just be a once-a-year celebration. It has to be an everyday event. For upbeat people, Thanksgiving has to become a lifestyle. And so we have to learn how to do that. The great news is, it's not as tough as you think it is. The great news is, you can do it. The even better news is, all you have to do is choose to do it. The bad news is, we may not want to. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. Because all of us already know everything we're going to talk about today. There's nothing we're going to say today that's new. I know it's not. If you've logged any time from church, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, everything we're going to say today is something that you already know to be true. There's no breakthrough coming this morning. Unless, of course, you hear it for the first time and allow God's Spirit to do something with it. And so let me give you three things that have to happen in your life to be people who are thankful people. The first one is simply this. The grateful rejoice, the grumblers whine. The grateful rejoice, the grumblers whine. Verse 16 says this, rejoice always. We must learn to rejoice always. Now, if you do a word study of those two words, you know how often you have to rejoice? But you know what the word always means? Always. I mean, that's a big takeaway, right? Not that tough. Rejoice always. What does the Bible mean when it says that? It means rejoice always. Well, what should you do with that? You should rejoice always. Because it's not a suggestion of how to live a better life. This isn't point eight in a 10-point series on how to do these 10 things for an improved life. No, this is a command. And the command is pretty clear and means exactly what it says, no matter what your translation reads. Rejoice always. And gratitude is always involved in rejoicing because gratitude throws a party. People who are grateful are always throwing a party. They're always excited about something. Grumblers, they just throw fits. And they're always having some kind of hissy fit about something. Big, little, doesn't matter what it is. There's some people that you know that you can count on, no matter what the situation, to grumble, right? You know who they are because you roll your eyes when they walk in the room. You roll your eyes because you're going to do your best over the next however long you have to be around them to be pleasant and stay away from them. Because you know if you get engaged in a conversation, they're going to tell you what they're ticked off about, why they think they're right, and why you should agree with them, and then wait for you to jump in the conversation to agree with them. That's what they do. And somewhere in the midst of the whining, you're supposed to come up with some type of miracle that will change their mind, but you can't, because they've made a choice to be whiners. See, the grateful cheer. Grumblers just chatter and clatter. But it's rejoicing in life that gets you through the trouble spots. And so some of the reasons that some of you struggle with stuff the way that you do is simply this, because you have failed miserably at learning to rejoice always. You've chosen not to see it. You've chosen not to see the things to be thankful for. And as a result, you struggle. There was a mom and her daughter who went out on Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, to go Christmas shopping. Back in the days when there were malls where lots of people went to malls and they had lots of stores in them. And just as everyone had predicted on this particular Black Friday, the mall was slammed. Crowds were awful, tough to find parking spaces. They had to skip lunch because they were on a tight schedule. Toward the end of the day, mom was hungry. She was tired, and her legs were killing her. And each store, each stop, each one more stop, one more minute that they had to shop made her more and more irritable. As they left the last store, she turned to her daughter and asked the question, "Did you see that nasty look that the salesman gave me?" And her daughter looked back at her and said, "He didn't give it to you, Mom. You had it when you walked in." See, the truth of the matter is, some of you need to have that facelift we talked about a few weeks ago. You need to get on a happy face. You need to make the decision that your face is going to reflect what God has done in your life. And yet sometimes we go around with this sour look that acts like there's nothing right with the world. And when we're told to rejoice, we have to understand that we should be able to do that in the midst of the bad, as well as the good. And that is a learned skill, but it's one that this passage doesn't shy away from. And it tells you exactly what you have to do to get it right. You have to learn to rejoice always. Second of all, the grateful talk to God. The grumblers just talk. Verse 17 says, pray continually. Now again, we did this a second ago. You know what the word continually means? Continually. I mean, again, once again, Scripture says exactly what it means. So when it says pray continually, it doesn't say pray, you know, once a day for 10 minutes. It says pray continually. In other words, you need to have a life, a lifestyle that lives in a constant attitude of prayer. And prayer and thanksgiving are soulmates. If you are a prayer, you will be thankful. You show me a prayerful person, and I will show you a thankful person. And I'm going to make a statement to you that is going to be startling and maybe offensive to some of you. And if so, what? You have to forgive me. It's Thanksgiving. But here's what I can promise you. If you're a person of prayer, and you are praying continually, you lose the ability to say anything negative or nasty about someone else or to someone else. And so that means in the moment that you speak badly about someone, in the moment that you say something nasty about someone, you are revealing the fact that you are no longer praying, and your life is not driven by prayer, it's driven by your feelings and how you think. You want to talk and feel better about people? Pray. If you got somebody on your hit list that just drives you nuts, pray for them. And pray that God would help you deal with them better, because you still have to deal with them. And at the end of the day, if you can say something nasty about someone, or you can be mean and nasty and say it to them and to their face, you are not praying enough. And that's robbing you of the joy of living the life that you were created to live. And so, get over yourself. Get out of your own way and start doing what Scripture says, because gratitude lifts its voice constantly to God. Grumbling just echoes off the walls. And we live in a culture that's gotten really good at grumbling. Our culture is nothing but a living, breathing echo chamber of everybody's bad moods and opinions that just keep bouncing around. But at the end of the day, those that know Jesus, if we're praying constantly, our moments are going to be better. And what we're going to say is better. It doesn't mean you don't share truth, but it means you share it in a way that honors God. And you share it in a way that's not for your own personal gain. See, when you talk bad about someone, when you really let rip and just kind of dump your truck on someone or about someone, you know who you're trying to make feel better? Yourself. Because there's nothing you're saying about them that's productive, and there's nothing you're saying about them that honors God. And you say, well, what if it's true? Well, if your delivery stinks, you blew it. And if it's true, you ought to be praying for them that they would change, not dumping on how bad they are. See, we do things like that because that makes us somehow think we're going to feel better. But you know what happens when we're done? We're just angry. And we just get spun up and we get uptight. And as a result, we're revealing the fact that we don't have a good prayer life. We're revealing the fact that we're not enough in communication with God to be able to even talk about people correctly. But prayer changes things, and prayer makes all the difference. And I assure you, there is a crucial relationship between increasing prayer and thanksgiving. I'm about to tell you a story that'll change your life. Change the 9 o'clock crowd's life forever. So much so that they're still talking about it at 11:15. There was a pastor who had a parrot. And all the pastor would say what all the pastor's parrot would say was simply this. He would sit in the cage all day, and because the pastor was so spiritual, the parrot would say, let's pray, let's pray. That's all the parrot would say. My great parrot. The pastor did his best to teach him some other things. He tried to teach him the doxology, he tried to teach him, you know, some other spiritual sounds, but all the parrot could come up with, let's pray, let's pray. The pastor learned that one of his deacons had a parrot as well. Who knew? So many parrots in one church. But his deacon had a parrot, and the deacon's parrot wasn't as spiritual. The deacon's parrot would say, let's kiss, let's kiss.
Oh, yes.
So the pastor, being an educated man, had a brilliant idea. What if we put our parrots together? Allow them to spend some time together. Maybe they will learn something new to say by being in each other's presence. And so they set up a parrot party. And so the pastor invited the deacon and his parrot over to his house. And the deacon arrived, and the pastor put the parrot in the cage with his pastor, with his parrot, with his pastor. It all gets confusing. And so to keep up with the story, in case you're getting lost like I am, there are now two parrots in a cage.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And the deacon's parrot says, let's kiss, let's kiss. And the pastor's parrot says, thank you, Lord. My prayers are answered. You see, I knew that story would change your life. And I told you guys in the back, it was a lot better than you were critiquing me on. And God's going to get you guys for that, because you're saying bad things about me, and I was just talking about that, but you were critiquing the prayer. And Lisa, if you would have muted me, God would have cursed you. I'm telling you right now. I've been taking grief for an hour about that joke. The point, though, is still very spiritual. God answers prayers. And for you and I in our life, we have to understand that if we would recognize there is a definite connection between unceasing prayer and thanksgiving, then our ability to be thankful and grateful goes up the more that we're willing to pray. Thankful speak toward heaven. Grumblers just make noise. And so are you a person that says things that are uplifting and speaks toward heaven? Or are you just making noise? See, it's not that tough. You don't have to be that smart to get this. As I said, Scripture's pretty good about this. My dad told me a couple things as I was growing up that stuck with me all my life. He told me a lot that stuck with me all my life. But, you know, he told me one time when I was a kid, a teenager, I think, you know, you're not as smart as you think you are. I never forgot that. He was right. But behind that came a sage piece of advice. It was the application of that truth. Every thought that rolls through your head does not need to come out of your mouth. Incredibly wise. If you're a teenager in the room, trust me, you will live long and prosper if you can learn that. If you're a parent in the room, remember that you were there once as well. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, remember that's still a spiritual principle to this day. Make sure the things that come out of your mouth are things that reflect gratitude and glorify God. Why? Because it has to be a way of life for us. Third thing, the last thing I want you to see is the grateful go with God's plan. The grumblers do it their way. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We have to learn to be thankful in everything. Why? Because it's God's will for your life. That means that any day you spend not thankful, you are not in God's will for your life in that moment. See, we forget about the last part of that verse. We forget what the implication of that is. God's will for you is that you would be continually in prayer, rejoicing, and giving thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because that's his plan for your life. His will. And if you're a follower, why wouldn't you want to be living out God's will for your life? And there's no wiggle room in there. You've got no room to complain. You've got no time to be anything except thankful and let that thankfulness ooze out of you. It needs to pour out of your pores. Because that's who you were created to be. And then and only then will you be the best version of yourselves. Because see, if you don't give thanks in everything, you're choosing in that moment to be unhappy and to turn your back on God and live in opposition to what he created you to do and be. The minute you start grumbling and griping, you have turned your back on God and said, I'm not going to be the person that I was created to be anymore. You can't use as an excuse, that's just how you are. No, that's not how you are. Because if you've come to know Jesus Christ, he came so you didn't have to stay how you are. He's changed you. And he's in the process of changing you, and he's told you what you need to do. Grumbling takes no skill set. Griping isn't a gift. We know that by default. But it's when we start choosing to be obedient and doing what we were created to do. What do? We rejoice. We pray. And we give thanks in all circumstances. See, when the Bible says we give thanks in everything, you know what that word means?
Everything.
Everything. See, there's nothing complicated about this passage. Rejoice always. How often? Always. Give thanks in everything. We are to be people of praise and people of gratitude and people of thanksgiving. See, gratitude walks with God. Grumblers just wander off. And here's the key to understanding this. In Scripture, it says, give thanks in everything, or in all circumstances. Know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say give thanks for everything. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. The instruction is clear that no matter what the circumstances, in the midst of those circumstances, that's when you give thanks. And for some reason, we get way off course when it comes to understanding this passage. Because sickness comes along. The loss of a loved one, violence, killings, horrible things happen in this world. We don't thank God for those things. We thank God in the midst of those things. And you know why you get it wrong? Because we don't do the first two pieces right. We don't rejoice, we don't pray. So as a matter of fact, so when things go bad, we think God's forgotten us, and we just act like we've lost our Savior. And it's not because he's trying to fool you. That's on you. He's told us, how do we get there and how do we stay there? And so we give thanks in everything, not for everything. And no matter what the situation, we can thank God for his comfort, his care, and his love in the midst of whatever the circumstance is. And we can be thankful for his presence in the midst of those dark moments and those bad days and those tough times. See, I believe that the Bible is pointing out that it's when we start giving thanks to God in everything, we begin to discover the unlimited resources that God has for us. And sometimes we don't tap into those resources because we don't do what we need to do at the front end to discover what God's been trying to do for us the entire time. And as a result, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves of some of the blessings that God has for us. See, perhaps our biggest mistake is to think that Thanksgiving is something that we should only do when good things happen. The true test of being thankful is, can you be thankful when bad things are happening? Being grateful in every circumstance is what we're asked to do in the midst of the circumstance, in all situations, in everything. You know what the greatest hindrance to being thankful is? Not thinking. In the old Anglo-Saxon language, thankfulness actually means thankfulness. And maybe it's not that far off. Because see, the more that we think about God, the more that we dwell upon the things of God, the more thankful we're going to be. I might go as far to say that people who aren't thankful, they don't think too much. And when they do think, they think about themselves. But they're not thinking to put brains in their faith. And as a result, we end up being incredibly non-thankful. See, take a moment right now and think about one thing that God has done that blesses you. Think about it. Come up with something that God has done that's blessed your life. Now think of another. See, in the last 15 seconds, you thought of two things that God's done. How do you feel about God? Has he done enough? Hasn't he been good? Isn't he amazing? Does he have to do more? Here, think of something else. See, because we could stay here all day thanking God for what he's done. Because when you start thinking about it, and when you take the time to start thinking about it, then you know what happens? You begin to rejoice in what he does. And then you know what happens after you rejoice in it? You start praying about it. And when you start praying about it, you know what begins to happen? You begin to thank God in all circumstances. Which is what his will is for your life. And so all three of those things become essential. They're non-negotiables for you if you're going to be thankful. Thankful, grateful people live upbeat lives. They walk the path that God has for them. Grumblers stumble around in the dark. They try to make their own path, and they get mad at God and other people when their path puts them somewhere they don't want to be. But they can't find the path because they didn't do what they needed to do to stay on the path. But the great news is you're only a step away from the path that God has for you. And you can choose that today. The very first person to reach the status of billionaire in history was a man who knew how to set goals and follow through. At the age of 23, he had become a millionaire. By the age of 50, he became the first billionaire in the recorded history of the world. Every decision, his attitude, his direction, his relationships were tailored and fine-tuned to create personal power and wealth. By 50, he was the one and only billionaire. 3 years later, at age 53, he became ill. His entire body was racked with pain. He lost all the hair on his head and over his entire body. He lost his hair. He was in complete agony. The only billionaire in the world who was able to purchase anything he wanted, eat anything he wanted. No meal was too extravagant. Got to the point that he could only ingest two things without getting sick: milk and crackers. And so the richest man in the history of the world was surviving barely on milk and crackers. One of his colleagues said he couldn't sleep, he would not smile, and nothing in life meant anything to him. He had the best doctors in the world come and look at him, and they determined that he would be dead by age 54. So over 50 years, he accumulated a billion. By 53, he was so sick that he had less than a year to live. And that year passed agonizingly slow. As that year came to an end, he awoke one morning with vague remembrances of a dream. He couldn't remember any of the details, but somewhere in the dreams of that night of restless sleep, he came to the realization that he was not going to be able to take any of the successes that he had achieved in this world with him into the afterlife. There was nothing that he had poured his life into and worked so hard for that was going to last beyond his last breath. The man who literally controlled the business world came to the realization he was not in control of his own life, and he was left with a choice. That day, he called his attorneys, accountants, and managers, and announced a change of plan, a change of policy. And he wanted to channel his assets into hospitals, research, and mission work. It was on that day, by that night, the John D. Rockefeller Foundation had been created. The new direction eventually led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for the current strains of malaria, tuberculosis, diphtheria. If you were to read a list of the discoveries that were funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, it is an enormous, an overwhelming list. He gave it away. But perhaps the most amazing part of Rockefeller's story is that the moment he began to give back a portion of what he had earned, something else happened. His body chemistry changed. And all of a sudden, he made it past 54. And he made it to 55. And he made it to 60. And the man that was supposed to die by the time he reached 54 is now standing at 60 years old, running the Rockefeller Foundation. He made it to 70. He made it to 80. He made it to 90. And at age 98, he called those people who were closest to him and said, "You know, I could stick around a little bit longer, but I'm tired." And he died at age 98. He was supposed to be dead at 54. Lived to 98. He learned that gratitude was important. He gave back from his wealth. In doing so, he made an amazing discovery. It's one thing to be healed. It's another to be made whole. Rockefeller's story tracks with biblical principles. You know the story of Jesus and the lepers? These lepers cried out for Jesus to heal them. And he gave them instruction. He said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." It's an amazing story. We're looking at it right now with our college students in Buzz. But if You read it closely. What happened is after Jesus gave them the command, they were obedient, and they turned and they went. And as they were going, they noticed that they were healed. They were healed. And Scripture says, one, a Samaritan of all things, an outsider to Jews. One person came around, turned back, and came to Jesus to thank him for what he did. And this is where Scripture gets really interesting sometimes. Because, see, Jesus is Jesus, right? He's God. He knows everything that's going to happen. And as we see Jesus as a man, a lot of times he could read the room, right? I mean, he knew what you were thinking, so he'd tell you what you're thinking. Or he'd say it out loud before someone got it out of their mouth. He could do that. But there are some moments in Scripture where if you read the words carefully, the indication is that Jesus is surprised, stunned, in some translations. This is one of those times. Because he makes a statement to the one that came back. Weren't there 10 of you that were healed? Where are the other 9? See, 10 were healed that day. But only one was made whole. And the one that was made whole because he remembered to be thankful. Isn't that the family of God? I mean, the bulk of you in this room, I have a feeling, have made a decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. He's healed you of your sin. He's forgiven you. When God sees your life, he looks not at you and your mistakes. He looks at you and he looks through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect. And because you made the decision to believe, trust, and follow him, you're healed. But you know what's stunning? I've been doing church a long time. You know what's stunning is the number of people in church that aren't whole. They're not whole. They've been healed. They're going to get to heaven, and they're going to get in. Their name is in the book. But they're not whole. Because the wholeness comes when you choose to do what this passage says, and you start choosing to be thankful. And when you start choosing to be thankful, your life becomes radically different, and you become whole. Which is why Thanksgiving matters. And so this year, as you move toward Thanksgiving, if you want to live the life that you were created to live, if you want to be upbeat, you got to say thanks. Because until you do, you'll never be whole. And you'll never live the life that you were created to live. The now what? It's as simple as it gets. It's the passage. It's the RPG. This week, every day, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And if you do that, you're going to be awfully busy this week. And you will be thankful. I promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've done so much for us. And sometimes we are so guilty of enjoying the blessings without thanking the one who gave us the blessings. And so it's good that we set aside a week as we get ready to celebrate your birth once again, that we pause and we get our hearts and our minds in thankful mode. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to live. That's where we function the best. That's where we live the best high-performance life that we were created to live. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, we choose to be grateful. We choose to grumble. My prayer for each person in this room is that we would be grateful. Lord, there are some in this room, some who are watching online right now live, or some that will watch later, that never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. They've never accepted your gift of salvation and that gift of healing that you bring. Instead, they have just decided to flirt with faith. This is their day to decide. If they're in this room, before they leave this morning, I pray that they would take a worship flyer and just check that box that says, I accept Jesus as Savior. putting a giving kiosk on the way out the door and give us a chance to come alongside them and encourage them and help them know what needs to happen next. If they're watching online, there's an email address on the screen, and they can just write to us and say, I've made a decision. I believe, I trust, I want to follow. And give us a chance to give them some stuff that will help them and tell them what to do next. And if they're not local, help them to find a place somewhere in the world that they can worship and find a place to connect to a church family, a community of faith. But Lord, for a lot of us in this room, we know you. Your gift on that cross and coming back from the tomb, coming back from death, has healed us. But we're not whole. And we're not whole because we're not thankful. And because we're not thankful, we don't live the upbeat lives that we need to live, and we can't shine as brightly as we want to shine. We can't touch and change the world with your love like we need to. And so today, as we look down a week that ends in Thanksgiving, my prayer is that we would take care of business this day, that we would learn to rejoice, that we would pray, and we would give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.